Hey there, welcome to Not Crazy and Not Alone,
a podcast where we talk about real life and real struggles,
and where we check ourselves against God's word to make sure we're not just surviving, but thriving. I'm Liz.
And I'm Queenie. And we're here to help each other and you develop a functional faith so that we can move forward understanding that we are not crazy and not alone.
Because God's got us and he's given us each other.
Let's get into it. Hey y'all, I am so excited about today's episode. I have been dying to have this conversation with Liz for a very, very long time because it weighs heavy on my heart. We all experience this. Today we are talking about adult relationships with parents. Okay. So you as an adult and your relationship with a parent. And I think this conversation cannot be had without acknowledging first that relationships change over time. We were once slaves in our parents' households, little kiddos following the rules of the house, obeying our parents. But then what happens? Then how are we called to behave and conduct ourselves when we are adults? And we have our own understanding and relationship with God. Let's talk about it, Liz.
Let's talk about it. So one thing I want to say, my acknowledgement is something that I have been talking to my therapist about, where we're going to have multiple plugs for therapy along the way. But one thing that I have been trying to focus on over the last couple of years is holding multiple things, holding space for multiple things, right? So that means we can have complicated emotions about something and hold them all together. One of my children he's better now, but he used to have this view that like, if he got a new pair of shoes, then he would get in. Oh, I love these. I hated those other ones. Right. So it was always like all or nothing with him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got a new, whatever. I got a new book. I hated all the other ones I had. It couldn't be that. Right? Like he had space for more than one thing in his heart. And so I think here it's important to note that like we've grown and matured and we can hold space for more than one emotion, which means your parents could have been terrible. They could have been hurtful to you as a child and yet healed as an adult and you can have a healthy relationship with them. Or you could have reached adulthood with your parents having parented you with a lot of good skills and a lot of good things. They could have implanted faith in your life. They could have implanted so many things that were good. And yet there are still issues. And yet there's trauma you have to heal from. Or as an adult, things fall apart, right? So my acknowledgement here is that we can hold multiple things. And while we do that, we're going to give grace for the flawed people we all are, our parents, as well as us, knowing that we all have traumas that have to be worked through or not worked through, I guess, however you determine that you're going to move forward in your life. But that our parents, you know, when you're little, your parents are larger than life. And you don't think of them that way.
Yes.
And you don't think of them as flawed beings with their own traumas and their own things to work through, but we're going to hold space for that. And we're going to extend grace for all of us in this conversation.
Well, and also acknowledging that sometimes they're larger than life and superheroes because that's all we know, right? And then when you look at maybe peers in comparison to peers' relationship with their parents, you're like, oh, I have it good, right? Or also vice versa, you're like, oh, this is not so great. And so I think the first thing that we have to do is kind of free ourselves from the expectation of what our parents should be, right? Or what they should have been. Yeah. And so they were, for the most part, I truly believe that parents were doing the best that they could, that they knew how, right? There's no manual. We both as parents, we're doing the best that we can from day to day, right? Will our kids probably need therapy? Possibly.
Yes. Absolutely.
We are going to make mistakes. We are going to mess up. And so to echo that point, like we have to have grace for these flawed people, right? Their parents were flawed. They were doing the best that they can. They were flawed. We get some of those flaws. But yeah, free yourself from this is what it should have looked like. Or for me, so my grandfather was a pastor. And so parenting for my parents looked like you just do what the Bible says. And the Bible says kids obey your parents and there's no questions asked, right? Yep. And so there wasn't room to challenge or question. And it's interesting because now I take that and my understanding or how I want to parent my children is you're okay. You are free to question. You are free mm-hmm. to disagree. You are free to not like it. You're not free to disobey me, right? But you are free to have your feelings, to not like it, and to question. And I think, again, having grace for what my parents were able to do, but then taking that acknowledgement, evaluating, and saying, what would I like to do differently and why, right?
Yeah.
Why do I want to do it differently? What do I hope to produce out of my children? What do I hope that they gain?
Jumping off of what you were just saying about how your parents parented you. So I also am a grandchild of ministers on both sides. Both my grandfathers were ministers. And it took your family one more generation to swing the other way, right? Whereas my parents decided that for them, they were going to, yes, uphold the biblical principles in parenting. However, they were going to push a relationship a lot more than what was done for them. Right. So they grew up in homes that were like, here's the rules and you obey no matter what. Particularly my father, I think. And then in our home, my parents were a lot more about the relationship. I think modeling it after Christ and how we're no longer bound to the law. We are free in Jesus. And it's about our relationship with him that justifies us, right? That allows us to move forward in righteousness versus just a bunch of rules that we could never actually live up to. And so my parents really, you know, when I think about that, again, holding multiple things, because just like you said, we walk away with things that we appreciate and then also things that we might change in our own parenting. Just appreciating the fact that my parents did a lot of work, I think, against how they were raised in making sure that we knew why. We, like you said, we could ask questions that didn't give us any sort of license to be disrespectful. But we, you know, it was a lot more about the relationship than just a bunch of rules and regulations. And once we shift from childhood into adulthood, my therapist always describes it as building your own solar system. So, right. Mm-hmm. Like as a child, your parents or like your mom or your parents are the sun and everything revolves around them, mm-hmm. right? It's their community. It's their church. It's their home. Yeah. It's their whatever. And so we revolve around them. And then at some point, whatever point it happens for you, you begin to develop your own solar system where you are the sun. Mm-hmm. You know, this idea of the shifting is so difficult.
Absolutely. Because the expectations have to change, right? Now there's not a hierarchy. It's not, I have to submit to you. I have to follow your rules. At some point we become peers. And like scripture says, brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And again, this is not a plug to disrespect your parents, right? This is you still need to honor them in the role that they played in your life. But as that relationship changes and evolves, this is what we're saying looks different. Now we have our obligations, spiritual obligations and responsibilities change. And so that means our relationship has to change. Sometimes when we acknowledge that our solar system is changing or developing our own, sometimes we get feelings of guilt, right? Like,
absolutely, yes.
I can't create my own solar system. I'm going to disappoint my parents. I'm going to upset them. And that feeling is unnatural, right? Is unhealthy. You should be pursuing your own solar system. Yes. You should be changing and evolving. That's what's healthy and what we should expect to see as we go into adulthood.
And when we shift into the relationship, moving into a different realm because we're now adults, what does that work look like? And is everyone willing to do the work?
For those of us who might have parents who are not doing the work or not challenging the theologies and the things that they were taught, and you find yourself in a place where you have to set boundaries in order to effectively parent your children, right? Or to thrive as an adult, that can be hard. And it's never easy to say like, hey, because you refuse to do your work or because some of the things that you are doing and saying is harmful, like we have to distance ourselves. And so again, I'm going to put another plug for therapy because that's hard to navigate. That
absolutely.
Again, when you have to dismantle these thoughts that this person was perfect, they were my superhero. Yeah. And now as an adult, they're harmful because I choose to live a different way or I choose to do something different and they might not agree. That's hard.
All right. So let's take our experience and line it up to some scripture. We're going to talk about when Jesus was about his father's business. So in Luke 2 verses 46-ish. So after 3 days, they found him in the temple. So Jesus was nowhere to be found, right? And so his parents were looking for him. His earthly parents were looking for him. And so here we are after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, listen, if my children were gone for 3 days,
Okay. And then just stroll back in the house.
Right. And then they like just walked in on him and here he is sitting among the church elders. Like the church elders cannot save you from the conversation we're about to have if you've been gone missing for 3 days. So he's 12 at the time, right?
Yep.
And so when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? I don't know about you, but that... I would have got smacked. That comment, I'd have gotten smacked. So he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them.
Yes.
So, okay, so this is happening. And then after that, it says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Yes. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. So let's talk. Okay. So let's, I guess, start here. Let's talk about this a little bit. So he's 12. Yep. Listen, I have a 12-year-old right now. So this feels real deep for me. He's 12 and he goes missing for 3 days.
3 days.
And then they walk in and they find him in the church, which I guess is the best possible place to find your kid if he's been missing for 3 days. But so they find him and they're like, what is happening? And what I think is really interesting is the first thing they say to him is, why have you treated us
this way?
Mm-hmm. So the focus is on themselves. They're viewing his behavior through the lens of their own feelings and how they were treated. This is about them.
Yeah, but also translates to today, right? When your children misbehaves in public, that is a reflection of you, right? You are a horrible parent.
Right.
What are you doing at home? And then I can easily say that your identity as a parent, that stress that she felt like, why did you disrespect me? Why? Yes. What have I done to deserve this kind of treatment? What have I done?
And so we've been distressed. Your behavior has caused us distress, right? And so here they are. I think it's so interesting. They're putting this on Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And so then he says, after that, he says, why were you looking for me? Like, why were you even doing that? What were you doing? Don't you already know I must have been here? Right? Like, must have been about my father's business. I must be doing this already, right? And so why did you not know? Oh, so what I think is so interesting about this is, well, then moving next to the, they didn't understand. They didn't understand this. Like, why would we assume? Which is so funny because you think, okay, this is 12, 13 years after they were literally visited by angels.
Yep.
To say, bear the Son of God, right? Listen. And he will do all these things. Yeah. And so, which is fine. I get it, right? Like we forget, we can't see through the forest through the trees. We forget the big picture because in the trenches, right? Because in the trenches, it is hard. Yeah. And so I also think what's interesting here too, is that like in this culture, the very little that I know about Jewish culture is that around this age is when children become men, right? Boys become men. Yeah. This is when they start to become men. Yeah. And so at what age?
This rite of passage, exactly. You are transitioning.
Yes. Do we start to understand that he has some agency as just a regular human child? Not, let's put aside the fact that he's God. Like, he's got some agency coming to him at this age culturally. And so, you know, I think this in it, as we look at our parenting journey or our parents, our journey with our parents, is there are ages and stages where agency comes into play. And we have to be able to trust that what we did for the years leading up to this period is going to stick. And we have to trust that God is keeping them the way that we believe God is keeping us. And so there's a shift here that I think is really important, because it's happening at an age where in this culture, he is to be seen as becoming a man anyway.
Yeah.
So he's got some agency culturally, I think. And again, I might be wrong. And if somebody's listening and you have a different understanding, please let me know. But, you know, I think what we can take out of this is not, we get to talk to our parents, like, why were you looking for me?
Yeah.
How did you not know where to find me? Because that's not it. Because we are not Jesus. However, if we're aligning our lives to God's word and we are pushing into our calling and our purpose, sometimes our parents may not understand that.
Yep.
Well, and as we push into adulthood, sometimes that's okay.
Yeah. The thing that popped in my head, which is interesting, is another scripture that we encourage you to look up, is that unless we become like little children, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when we like are follow and obedient. We don't ask a lot of questions. But what I really wanted to say is there's going to be a time in like your faith journey as a child where your understanding, because you are a child, maybe might surpass far surpass your parents' understanding, right?
Yeah.
And you might become in tune with your purpose and your calling, and you might feel compelled to act in that. And I think that's what we're seeing here. And I just have to focus on those last couple of scriptures, because God is not a respecter of a person, right? He's looking for someone who's going to listen and obey him. And if there is a child willing and has that understanding, what is preventing God from allowing them to walk out their purpose or their calling at a young age of like 12, right? Or 13. Right. And so checking ourselves as parents that my expectation of what you should be doing at 12 and 13 might differ, right? Based off of your calling in life. And how do I check myself to support that and cultivate your natural God-given gifts and abilities to align myself to support you?
Right.
Right. That's a lot.
Yes. And then I also think it's important to look too at these verses, like verse 51. So verse 50, they didn't understand, right? Yep. They didn't get it. He spent the last 3 days. They didn't know where he was. They didn't get it. But then he went with them.
Yep.
After that, he did his, and then he went with them and he was submissive to them at the level he was still required to do at his age and stage in life. Right. And so I think that's important to know too. It's messy, right? Mm-hmm. So in one verse, he's like, what, didn't you already know? I was gone for 3 days, but didn't you, why are you worried? And then a couple of verses later, he's following them back home and submitting to them inside the home. Mm-hmm. So like he, again, is holding multiple things. Yes, his level of agency potentially is not quite fully grown. And then it also says in verse 52, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So there was some growing left to be done for him.
Yep.
Culturally in his human form. And so he wasn't an adult yet, but he was getting there. And so there's that balance of those things. So I think it's important to notice that both for ourselves as parents, that, you know, we are in that stage here in my house. We have a 19-year-old, we have an 18-year-old, we have a 12-year-old. Like we're in the stage where we're like, we can't treat the 19-year-old. We can't ground him.
I
guess he lives here, but you know, like he's an adult. So what does that look like? Allowing him the agency of the age that he is, but also making sure that everyone's being respectful.
Yeah.
Right. And so then when we shift into thinking about what it looks like as grappling with our relationship with our parents as grown adults. You know, this misapplication, I think, going back to the verses in Ephesians, Children obey your parents and the Lord fixes right. Honor your father and mother. So I think this is potentially, we can look at this understanding the phases of life that we're in. Children obey your parents in the Lord. Also, that's important. Not just like blanket obey, but obey in the Lord, right?
Yep.
And so that's what happens when you're a child. But then when you move into adulthood and you're not required to obey your parents anymore, but you still like honoring them, I think, like you said, we move into this understanding that there's no hierarchy anymore.
Yep.
There's no hierarchy of authority anymore when I have created my own solar system and I have my own children.
Yep.
And now the respect and honor that I owe to them is the respect and honor I owe to every human who bears the image of God.
Yep. Married or unmarried. Every human. Absolutely. Yes. Brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm. So then that pulls us into, we want to talk about Romans. So in Romans 12, let's see, verse 16 through 18. So live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So this is what we're going to talk about when we are talking. I mean, we'll just put it out there.
Yep.
Adult relationships with your parents are hard.
Who are hard
when they're hard.
Yeah.
So when it's hard because you're an adult, because you have created your own solar system and what you're doing for whatever reason is different, and it either is causing friction or has caused friction, what do we do?
Yep.
And how do we approach that?
So the live in harmony, I think, speaks volumes with one another. And I want to break that down. What does that look like, right? That doesn't mean that you are silent or you lessen yourself, you minimize yourself, right? But it does mean that you check your feelings and your emotions when interacting with that parent, right? So is what I'm about to say helpful? Is what I'm about to say, does it need to be said right now? Is what I'm about to say going to move the relationship along, or is it going to cause harm? I think that living harmony with self comes with self-awareness and a constant checking of self to hold self accountable in order to, I would say not aggravate, right? In order to not provoke. There can be times that you were like, it's blaring, like it's in my face there, like how wrong you are. And I could call you out on those things, but it's sometimes having the discipline to say like, you know what, I'm going to hold grace for you in this moment. I'm not going to call you out on the things that I currently see, or maybe the thing that you just said that's untrue or not how I remember it. It's being able to hold yourself accountable and have discipline,
because sometimes I should be silent.
Yeah, that part.
I really should be silent sometimes.
Yep.
But that's not everything I'm gonna say is gonna be super edifying or helpful. And sometimes I haven't explored why I feel this way, you know, and what it really means, right? And so I think there is that. That living in harmony and living in peace isn't always just saying anything that comes to your mind. Even if it's my truth, or, you know, there's a big push and like, I'm going to tell my truth and I'm going to say how I feel, but like, okay, but like feelings aren't facts. And so like I can feel some kind of way and it not be true. My judgment of a situation cannot be true. Right. And so I think that it's important to see, in the pursuit of harmony and peace, it's important to look at multiple angles and potentially like motivations for why certain things are happening.
Yep.
Right. And back, going back to boundaries though, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to allow things to come into my life. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to allow everything. But it does mean I'm going to give grace for some things. But boundaries also allow for peace. You know, I think it's so interesting that, you know, people's understanding of boundaries a lot of times is like, about them. Again, like, why was this about, this was about me. Yeah. This is about me that you disappeared for 3 days. This is about me that you made me feel so desperate. But it's not about you.
Yeah.
Right. And boundaries aren't about the other person. Boundaries are about me.
Yep.
And because sometimes without boundaries, I am not promoting peace.
Listen.
but my boundaries check my own self.
Yep. I want to go back to the expectations that you kind of referenced. And what I thought I heard you say was that there's a constant state of learning too, like being willing to see other perspectives. And I think that ties right into the second part of the verse where it's like, don't be haughty, like don't be so proud and think that you know everything. Don't be the expert in this relationship because you're not, right? And so that makes us check ourselves. And it says, be associated with the lowly. So I'm willing to learn from you as my parent, right? And I hope that you're willing to learn from me as your once child, right? It says never be wise in your own sight or your own understanding. Yes. That makes us submit one to another, right? That's what that says. It says, what have your experiences taught you? How can I apply it to this situation? How can you point me to Jesus? And how can I do the same for you? Because now, again, the hierarchy is gone and we both have a spiritual obligation to do what God said. So help me do it right. And so I think that humility allows us to learn from parents who might've gotten it wrong in our youth and to still hear like, you still have something to offer me, right? You still have wisdom. You are still my parent. You are still the one that God chose for me, right? And so what can I take away, good, bad, or indifferent? How can I apply that to my life? And what can I offer you? I think is very, very important here.
Yes. And also though, I think understanding that what can I offer you, sometimes that is not much. Like sometimes
that's okay,
but sometimes there are certain parts of relationships that are damaging or not peaceful, right? Like, and that's not, I hate to throw the word toxic around because it's such a, you know, buzzword right now. Not everything is toxic, okay? But you know, some parts of relationships are unhealthy and some parts of relationships are in a cycle of unhealthiness. Yep. And what I can offer you is no longer participating in the cycle.
Absolutely.
And that's better for both of us, even if you don't understand, right? And so that's where those boundaries come in. And I think also it's really important to see that in verse 18 of Romans 12, it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Right. Yep. So understanding that we live in a world that is marked by sin. And so peace is not always possible here. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then what's my responsibility? Because I, at the end of the day, at the end of my life, I'm not going to stand before my parents and answer to them. I'm going to stand before God and answer to him.
Yeah.
And so I will answer both for how I had to parent my children, whether it's different from how they parented me or not. How I moved through my own life and chose to glorify God or not, whether my parents understood it or didn't.
Yeah.
Right. Like I have my own calling that is separate from my parents.
Yep.
But part of that calling is to live in harmony or in peace so much as it depends on me. And so sometimes, like I said, choosing not to participate in the cycle is choosing peace.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's choosing peace.
Yep. And I'm going to put another plug for therapy. Like while you are choosing peace and while you are refraining or setting up those boundaries, I think therapy is so important so you can work through those things and why you had to choose peace and why you had to separate, right?
Absolutely.
In order to not create generational curses and cycles.
Like recognizing that peace doesn't necessarily mean what's easy, right? It doesn't necessarily mean being close in proximity or in relationship. That's not always peaceful for everybody. Certain relationships need pretty strict boundaries in order to be peaceful. And that's okay too.
Yep.
Like understanding what is peaceful, you have to, again, plug for therapy, start to understand what has been damaging, what has been unhealthy.
Right.
So there's a lot of people are hiding a lot of trauma for the sake of this like familial bond and maintaining it. And it's not always healthy.
Yep. Yeah.
And so peace,
the image of what the perfect familial unit looks like. Free yourself of that.
Free yourself. And seek after the peace that God is talking about, because we're talking about righteousness, right? Like if we're not promoting righteousness in whatever way, right? If we're hiding addiction, if we're hiding abuse, if we're skirting over trauma, if we are life and death is in the power of life and death is in the tongue, right? Like if we are continually tearing each other down just to come back and apologize, that's a cycle that needs to be broken. Like those things are not righteous. And so if the outside image is hiding unrighteousness, it's not peaceful.
Or outside boundaries justifying these actions that are harmful. I think when we hold space for different things, I think we can acknowledge that sometimes, particularly for me, for an individual whose parents are divorced, right? We might struggle with having a closer relationship with one parent than the other, right? Or maybe we have an estranged relationship to one parent and that's heavy. And how do we navigate that? Because we've had to create boundaries in order for health and for sanity, right? And so I think this conversation is also a plug to pray for healing for the individuals, for ourselves, as we figure out what potentially that relationship could look like in wholeness, in God, right?
Absolutely.
And so relationships first are hard. And I think we have to have a conversation and make space for those whose parents are not together and you have very real different feelings for both parents or just different relationships with both of them. And it looks night and day. And that also is why, because you have to navigate based off of each relationship, right? Each relationship is different.
Yes. And again, when we define we have an understanding of God's peace and God's harmony but knowing that it's only as much as it depends on us in a world filled with sin still.
Yep.
Because when we have people choosing sinful and destructive, unhealthy patterns, knowing that that's going to require us to maintain some pretty hefty boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. In order to not continue that cycle, like you were saying, to the next generation. Like, I got to protect not only me, but my kids, right? Protect
these babies.
Right.
Liz, I've so much enjoyed this conversation with you today. Like I said, I've been dying to have this conversation with you. And I will be the first to say that I haven't arrived in how to navigate my relationship with my parents as an adult. And so I definitely invite y'all to pray with me and for me as I continue to navigate this, right? Particularly for me, I think in restoration of my parental relationships and again, holding space for the fact that it's change or it is changing, right? And so now how do we function? Now how do we do things different?
Yes, absolutely. I think too, moving forward, for me, one thing I'm always trying to keep in mind is like, what is peace look like? Mm-hmm. You know, what does peace in this relationship look like? What does harmony look like? Does what I'm thinking about saying promote those things, mm-hmm. or would a boundary serve me better in this instance, right? So praying for wisdom, I think it's really important that we continue to pray for wisdom for ourselves and each other as we move forward in all relationships, but particularly this one that has so many levels to it. You know, how do we move forward in harmony, in peace, but also not sacrificing God's calling to us to whatever our purpose is and to seek after righteousness in the pursuit of a fraudulent peace or a peace that is human defined. We want to make sure that our peace is God's defined peace.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us and joining this conversation today. We pray that you find peace, healing, and wholeness in all of your relationships, but particularly in your relationships with adults. Please reach out to us if you have comments or questions about the conversation. We're always happy to engage, and we'll see you next time. Thank y'all so much for listening to this episode of Not Crazy and Not Alone.
We hope you feel seen and encouraged.
But most of all, we pray that it pointed you to Jesus
and help you form a more functional faith.
Bye, y'all.